saw my video earlier, you know that I have questions about breastfeeding and your child sleeping through the night. So I was trying out these heating pads by LaVie, which are for breastfeeding. So anyway, thank you for joining us. Today I'm going to be talking with the Vagina Whisperer, who I discovered on Instagram, and she is a huge well of amazing information. And as I said in my Instagram stories today, I've never gotten so many questions submitted for somebody ever. This is a really big topic. Pelvic floor is a huge topic. I actually didn't know anything about pelvic floor, what a pelvic floor is, making sure you pay attention to your pelvic floor until I was pregnant. And that was something that everybody talked about, preparing your pelvic floor, making sure you work on your pelvic floor. So this is a really big topic. I'm going to try to get to a lot of your guys' questions. I think we're going to have to do another Instagram live around this because there are so many questions and really great questions. None of them were really repetitive, which was amazing because sometimes people ask the same thing. And this was really great. So I see that she's here. So let's add her and get right into everything pelvic floor. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was just watching your intro as I was trying to log in and I was like, so many questions. I cannot wait.
So many questions. So it was actually crazy because as I mentioned before, the questions that came in were really about everything pelvic floor related, but not just after baby or sex after baby. It was really for a lot of people, I think, a lot of pelvic floor questions post childbirth, but also a ton of pelvic floor questions, you know, before kids are even in the picture, which is so interesting to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think I watched your video yesterday that you posted on your Instagram, and I think everybody else should watch it because it explains what the pelvic floor is. So for those who haven't watched it, let's just start by talking about what is the pelvic floor.
Let's start with 101. And yeah, you know, we really learn a lot about the pelvic floor during pregnancy, during childbirth and postpartum, but we see people of all ages, different seasons in life who may have pelvic floor issues. But let's do our little anatomy lesson first.
Yes.
I've got my trusty pelvis.
Oh, great. Okay.
So this is your pelvis. You have the pubic bone here in the front and the sacrum and tailbone here in the back. And at the very base of your pelvis is a basket of muscles. And this little red and pink material is, these are your muscles. And they sit like a basket. So they help support your organs, your bladder, your uterus, which holds a growing baby during pregnancy, and your rectum, which holds your poop. So these muscles are a basket and they keep pee and poop in during the day until you can get to the restroom, hopefully. And then, you know, they just act as a support during pregnancy, especially for baby. During birth, these muscles relax for a vaginal birth so that you can have a vaginal birth, but they're also affected during a cesarean birth as well because a lot of the muscles and tissues are affected during the surgery. So yeah, we see a lot of people during pregnancy and during postpartum who do have issues just because it's such a huge transformation for the body.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying earlier that I actually never even heard of, like, I never heard of anybody talking about a pelvic floor until I got pregnant last year. Last year. But I was like, I think I was pregnant in end of 2019 and then delivered her in 2020.
Yeah.
But anyway, I never even heard of that. I know that it's a big topic for pregnant women, but it's also a lot of the questions that we got were also for women who have pelvic floor challenges before even getting pregnant. So that's a big thing as well.
It is a big thing. And, you know, typically, like yourself and like myself, we wouldn't have known that there could be changes to your pelvic floor unless you were having issues. So some of the more common things we see with people who haven't had babies is like painful intercourse, painful tampon insertion, painful pelvic exam. So those are kind of the first signs of like something is a little bit different and they don't always know that muscles can be part of the issue. Also some issues like, you know, urinary leakage in female athletes or pooping problems or other kind of common things we see.
And for women who, you know, who haven't had kids yet and who are being told they have pelvic floor issues, a lot of them go to see a PT like yourself to be able to work on that. And is pelvic floor, are pelvic floor issues not ones that you develop when having a baby? Are those genetic or how do those come about?
So, you know, there is a genetic component, but I think that genetics typically plays a role more along the lines of like pregnancy and birth and postpartum. Right. But no, it's really, these are muscles. And so if we think about, you know, I get tight muscles in my shoulders and that gives me really bad headaches, or I have a certain exercise or activity that causes our muscles to be really tight. If you have really tight, tense muscles, then, you know, a lot of these bowel issues, bladder issues, sexual issues can develop because those muscles just aren't working the way that we want them to. Mm-hmm. What we see more often is like muscle tension. So just like tense muscles in your neck, you can have tense muscles in your pelvic floor, and that could make intercourse or pelvic assessments painful. And so we really just teach people how to relax their muscles down there.
How do you relax your muscles? Because I think that everybody, I mean, if you're a woman, you've definitely heard of Kegels, of doing those exercises, making sure that, you know, that you work those muscles that when you're pregnant, when you're not pregnant, just making sure that that is something that you do as a woman. But you don't really hear a lot about women relaxing. I mean, I think you hear about it ahead of labor, like relax your pelvic floor so that baby comes out a lot easier. But ahead of that, how are you supposed to relax those muscles?
Right. So it's really interesting because if we're like all walk around like holding our vaginas tight and sucking in our bellies, your muscles can almost get too tight. Mm-hmm. And we want muscles to be strong, but not tight. So the way that we relax them is, it's almost like peeling layers of an onion. If somebody has really tight abdominal muscles or buttock muscles, we start there by just doing like almost massage to those areas. And then as a physical therapist in pelvic floor, we're trained on how to do intravaginal massage to the muscles, which sounds scarier than it is, but we'll use our model again. Yeah. So you really, in our assessments, we go in through the vagina and then we're able to kind of press on the muscles on the inside with our finger and say, is that muscle tight and tender? We give it a little bit of pressure. We teach patients like breathing and stretching and, you know, certain positions to avoid, like sitting with your legs crossed or something that can make those muscles tense. So it's literally like releasing and relaxing the muscle, just like you would do to a tight shoulder or something like that.
Wow. So there are things that, because I think obviously during COVID, people would love to be able to go to a physical therapist. Some people do, and some people don't feel comfortable with it, but there are things you're saying that you can do at home in order to help that pain if you do have that.
No, absolutely. So it's funny because when COVID hit and like my clinic shut down, clinics all over the country shut down, and we had so many moms that were like, how am I supposed to give birth? And a lot of them weren't able to have doulas or, you know, different support people in the room. So we actually did an online course on how to prepare your pelvic floor for birth. So teaching individuals like how to massage. No,
like, hello.
I know. Like, I'm sorry. Like, sorry, Catherine, we're a few months late. But you know, teaching them how to really like massage the base of the vaginal opening, doing different stretches to help open the pelvis for childbirth, like child's pose or a deep squat, how to breathe without holding your breath to like push and open up the muscles. So there are definitely things that can be done at home. It's not as effective, or I would say as hands-on, obviously, as in person, but it really does fill this void of like all or nothing. There's definitely education out there.
Yeah. I remember when the pandemic first hit, and I was thinking that because people were, a lot of my girlfriends were telling me, oh, you want to see a PT before you have the baby and after you have the baby to make sure that your pelvic floor is really healthy. And so I was learning about that. And then we were still in this pandemic. And so I think when you're doing, if you're, you know, active during your pregnancy and doing exercises, a lot of these apps have really great exercises to be able to, you know, open your pelvic floor for childbirth. And then also being able to know, you know, courses like the one that you're offering to be able to have a healthy pelvic floor ahead of childbirth and even be able to do some version of PT at home is really amazing as well.
I love that your friends were telling you about PT because I feel like it's not always known about. And so the fact that you were like aware of it and just even knew it was an option is awesome.
Yeah, it was actually, I didn't hear about it from them prior to getting pregnant, but it was definitely, and you hear all these horror stories, you know, like as a woman, you hear about all of your friends' terrible birth experiences and their labor experiences. So you definitely get nervous. And I remember my OB just always saying, you know, you want to relax and be able to, you know, open your pelvic floor so the baby can, you know, come out easier and also, you know, sit on those, I don't know if you...
Yeah, like the birthing balls and stuff like that.
The birthing ball, but there was this one, like a Yamuna ball.
That's
like harder. And so you can like roll it around on your, you know, back and stuff like that. And all these things really helping that whole process and journey, because you want to be able to obviously prepare for labor.
Yeah.
So that was, I'm really glad and grateful that they talked to me about it. But also I just found that it was such a huge topic, as I saw from the amount of questions that were clearly submitted for this conversation. I also want to talk, because a ton of the questions that we got and what you and I also wanted to talk about in addition to just pelvic floor health was sex.
Yeah.
And the connection between sex and pelvic floor health. Obviously your pelvic floor is, you know, in your vagina, but
yeah.
Can you speak a little bit about the connection there?
Absolutely. So, you know, the pelvic floor, the outer layer has three openings, one for the urethra where urine comes out, one for the vagina, which is for vaginal intercourse, vaginal birth, and then one, the anal opening for poop. So there's a couple things is that, again, these are muscles. In order to help accept something into the vagina, whether it's a penis, a dildo, a finger, whatever the case, you've got to be able to relax these muscles. And what's really interesting is that if we're never like connected with these muscles, or we're always just told to like hold everything tight, you don't even know how to relax them. You're like, right. What is it down there? You know?
Yeah.
It's very mystical. But with that being said, you need to be able to relax these muscles to have pain-free intercourse, vaginal intercourse. Some of the common things that we see after birth are if you've had an episiotomy, a perineal tear, you can have some scar tissue at the base of the muscles,
right.
And that can cause some discomfort. So that can cause a sensation of like tearing. It can cause pain with initial insertion. So that's a big factor. You can also just have muscle tension. Like these muscles are maybe guarding, or you've been sitting for a long time, or there was trauma and you are holding the muscles tense, and that can cause some pain as well. Typically that's pain with deeper insertion. And then you can also have vaginal dryness. And so postpartum, that's a really big issue when women are lactating or breastfeeding, your estrogen levels are low, and that causes your vagina to be dry. It's almost like your vagina is in menopause. And so vaginal dryness is another big issue. So, you know, we want to work on muscle relaxation. We want to work on scar massage to the area, which we do in physical therapy and teach people how to do. And then also just recommending like a coconut oil or an all natural just moisturizer for the tissue so they don't have, you know, dryness and discomfort.
So the obviously being able to see a PT is number one best case scenario for people. If you're not able to do that, you're suggesting there's, you know, lubricant for women to do, because we got a lot of questions about painful intercourse, you know, before having a baby, just having a tight pelvic floor. And then of course, a lot of women writing in saying that they are really nervous about having sex after they've gone through childbirth. They're ahead of that. They want to be able to be calm and relaxed, but it's a really nerve-wracking experience for them. So what are some things, aside from, I know, a natural lubricant, but what are some things that women could use to kind of start that journey or relax themselves?
Right. It's a great question. And it's actually, there are actually these things called vaginal dilators. And I wish I had a sample here with me, but they look like tampons of different sizes. And they start with one that's like as small as my pinky, and then go up to the one that I usually say, go up to the size that's closest to your partner. They're almost like little Russian dolls, like where they come in bigger and bigger sizes. But I teach people to just like start with something small, start with something that's not painful, work on just taking big, deep breaths and, you know, working in a comfortable range. And as that starts to become more comfortable, then go up to the next size dilator, then the next size dilator. And you do it lying on your back with, you know, a towel under your bottom. I'd recommend a water soluble lubricant or like a coconut oil or something. Mm-hmm. And then just work on kind of getting used to the sensations and easing into the process. I always say it's almost like we don't go run a marathon if we've never trained for the race. So you want to train your body to prepare for an event that, you know, may cause, you know, some tension or something. So I actually teach them to do that. And then even going in and working on the scar, if they've had a scar during a vaginal birth. But I think the dilators are really helpful. Again, I love yoga. I love working on just down training our nervous system, which helps down train our muscles as well.
So there are activities like, you know, I think Pilates, I also heard, is really great to be able to do, you know, relaxing of the core, yoga.
Yeah.
I think someone had talked about walking as being just any sort
just
of movement.
Just movement. I mean, really just like getting blood flowing to these tissues. If we're sitting all the time, everything's kind of locked up and tense. So just movement, you know, I mean, and it really can be anything. But I think that, you know, I have a job where I'm on my feet all day and moving around, but the majority of us are just sitting. And so definitely anything that can help kind of facilitate circulation.
I was talking to my friend earlier today who told me that in France, after you have a baby, you are advised to do pelvic floor therapy, to meet with a PT, and it's provided to you as part of your care after having a baby. And again, as somebody who didn't really hear that much about pelvic floor until I was pregnant, do you think that that's something that should be offered to all women, especially women who have
babies? It's so funny because I was just thinking about this, and I feel like, what would I consider success in this field? And it's when we have changed the way that we are caring for women after birth. Like the way that we care for babies, I wish we cared for moms from a very, even just physical and psychological approach. So yeah, it's a huge transformation. And I mean, it's so interesting because I'm in this field. I'm a pelvic floor PT. I was a PT for 10 years before I had kids. And then I had my own children. I was like, oh my gosh, this is hard. I was like, I am scotch taped together right now. And like my vagina is intact, you know? So just the whole process is difficult. But I think that if physical therapy was standard care for postpartum moms, I think one, it helps us recognize that moms need care, that this is something that they need to rehabilitate physically afterwards as well. And I think it can also help prevent issues. I mean, it can help prevent urinary leakage. It can help improve sexual intercourse. So just really being proactive in that recovery process would be amazing.
And do you advise women after they have their babies as something as care, even if they don't necessarily have discomfort, that being able to see a pelvic floor PT is something that is good to do after you have a baby?
Yeah. I mean, I'm clearly, you know, this is a very biased opinion, but yeah, I do. We always recommend, I'm like, yes, physical therapy, but we do encourage moms to come in for one postpartum visit, whether even birth was like wonderful or they didn't have any issues. But you know, the majority of individuals do have a perineal tear, you know, so they do have some sort of change or trauma to the tissues. 30% of women are having cesarean birth, which is a major surgery. So we do recommend coming in for at least one visit. And it's literally things like, how do you get back to exercise, comfortable positions for breastfeeding, returning to intercourse. I mean, we go to our physician visits or, you know, and it's like thumbs up, get back to sex and exercise. But what happens once you go back and you have problems like leakage or pain, then what do you do? So I think even one visit can be really helpful.
Yeah. And there was a lot of, there were a lot of questions. And I had a friend as well who, before I was allowed to work out after I had my daughter, she had said to me, you know, make sure when you are greenlit to work out and go back to your exercise that you are careful with it, because she had had an experience where she decided to go right back into working out like she was before she was pregnant, and that she has really bad pelvic floor challenges. And also she feels like, she told me that she feels like her pelvic floor is just like sitting and feels like it's going to drop out at any minute. So there's, you know, a way to, I think is what you're saying, to jump back into being active and, you know, doing what you used to do, but doing it in a really gentle way, which I think is such a new thing for, you know, our age group and our generation, is to talk more about caring for the mom, caring for, you know, caring for a woman, caring for vaginal health, pelvic floor health, which isn't, you know, it's such a great thing, but it's also such a new topic, I find.
Yeah, I think, and that's why it's amazing that you're bringing light to this kind of via your platform, is because we don't often want to talk about them. Like they're typically, you know, private issues that maybe on a walk with a girlfriend or something like that, that you would discuss. But now we have the ability to really highlight this information. And so, I think when, you know, I always say it's not just birth when your body goes through a transformation, it's 10 months of pregnancy. And so your pelvic floor, again, is that hammock that's supporting so much more that can get exhausted. So I do encourage people, if they do, or they are exercises, to go back and retrain their pelvic floor before getting back into, you know, CrossFit or running or whatever it is that people do.
And can you explain prolapse?
Yeah. Was that a question that came in?
Yes, that was a big question. It was actually a question that was probably the most repetitive question to talk about prolapse and to explain it and also offer advice for how to deal with it.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I just did an online session with somebody who is overseas who has prolapse, and it's a really common issue. And so back to our trusty model. So the muscles, the organs sit in this hammock, right? So when this hammock of muscle gets weak or lengthened, which can happen during pregnancy, can happen during birth, happens with chronic straining from constipation or heavy lifting, that the organs start to droop a little bit and they actually start to kind of press into the walls of the vagina. So it's almost like if you were to insert your fingers into your vagina, you almost feel a little bit of a bulge there. And it's your bladder pressing into the vaginal wall, or your rectum, which has poop kind of pressing into the vaginal wall, or your uterus kind of drooping down. So, yeah, I know. It's like scary. That's what I was like, okay, we're going there. So,
No. I love it. I think it's so great, but it's not, again, it's not discussed. So it's, you know, I think for women, it's important to know.
It is. And, you know, a lot of individuals have this after birth. It can improve on its own, but if you go back to a high intensity exercise, or even there's a genetic component, and you start doing a lot of things that keep that weakness there, those organs will start to droop and drop. So some of the biggest things I tell people is like to scale back a little bit. Like if you're already experiencing this and you're a runner or a CrossFitter or a weightlifter, scale back, retrain your pelvic floor muscles, like build the foundation of your core. We talk about the core all the time, but your pelvic floor is really the base of your core, not just your abdominals. Mm-hmm. Rebuild that and then start increasing your intensity. I think that's a huge one. The other ones are like not straining. So not straining when you poop. I always teach, like, people are like, I'm here for prolapse. And like, we got to talk about pooping first, you know, because if you have constipation and you're straining or something, that's all pressure down. That's going to contribute to weakness. You know, even teaching people simple things like how to lift their kids without holding their breath, how to, you know, carry heavy groceries without holding their breath. All of those activities cause more weakness to the area.
So when you pick up your child, you should not just pick them up. There's like a specific way to pick them up.
Yeah. So I actually tell people to, it's called blow before you go. So I tell people to exhale as they're picking up their kiddo, because what happens is that if you hold your breath, you're like, and that puts pressure on the pelvic floor. We do that like how many times a day? 30, 40 times a day. You put the car seat in the car, you lift the stroller, you pick the baby out of the crib. So I start teaching people even during pregnancy how to just exhale with exertion. And that's something that they should do day to day with, you know, daily activities. But also when they're exercising in the gym, if you're lifting weights, you need to be exhaling, kind of things like that. So not holding your breath, because that puts more pressure on the pelvic floor.
That's awesome. I think that's why I think that, you know, yoga and Pilates are so great to be able to do that, because so much of those activities are focused on breath and breathing.
Yep.
And of course, meditation, things like that are so great as well. But being able to incorporate those into simple things like lifting something that's heavy, lifting your child,
just doing
everyday things that we kind of mindlessly do, be able to keep that in the back of your mind, I think is so great. Another big question was, if you have pelvic floor issues or challenges with your first child, is that something that you will absolutely experience with another child, or even before you have a baby and you have pelvic floor issues, is that something that's going to worsen or increase when you do go have a child?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I think it can be really helpful for moms to hear this. So the research is really showing that if you had trauma or prolapse or something during your first birth, it doesn't necessarily mean that's going to happen with the second birth. It's really showing that a lot of those changes occur during the first birth. So if you had significant prolapse, it's not necessarily going to get worse during a second birth. The good thing about second births is they're also faster. So you're not necessarily pushing for a prolonged period of time. The labor itself goes a little bit quicker. Mm-hmm. What I would say is that if somebody is having challenges and they are pregnant or planning to conceive, I would start working on their pelvic floor now. I mean, I would go in and work with a PT to kind of go into that process, like really in a great physical condition to try to do some things to help prepare for that process. But no, I mean, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be like, it's like gloom and doom for every birth after that.
Why do you think that we're so not in touch with our pelvic floor? I feel like a lot of women, when you even talk about pelvic floor health, or making sure that, you know, or vaginal health in general, it's, I think there are a lot of women who just don't even know how to feel your pelvic floor, how to, like, what you can do to even access that point.
I mean, this is such a hard question, and I don't want to say it's a cultural thing, but I think it's, you know, I can only give my personal experience from growing up. It was like, when I started my period, my mom gave me like a box of tampons and a book, and she was like, good luck. You know, that's kind of your education. And I also think like sexual education in schools, some schools aren't even offering it, but it's kind of like just the birds and the bees stuff, but versus talking about really practical things like menstrual hygiene, how to insert a tampon. I mean, I did a post a couple months ago that like you have three holes in the pelvic floor for pee, poop, and birth. And people were like, there's three, you don't pee out of your vagina. And so there's just such little education. And I think that that also creates stigma. You know, we don't want to talk about it. It's also embarrassing. I mean, I think that this is just a very real thing that, you know, leaking or having painful sex, these can be really embarrassing, intimate issues that people just aren't comfortable sharing.
So as a mother of a daughter, you're suggesting, I think, which I think is so great, to be able to have more conversations with women of all ages, but, you know, as a mother to a little girl, to be able to have open communication. My mom was always really amazing, and I feel so fortunate to be able to have that, you know, sex wasn't something that we were not allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
It was something that was encouraged to talk about and to be able to be open about it. And then, of course, if you had more medical questions, you have your OBGYN. But even then, so many women are uncomfortable talking to even their doctors about these issues.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so, you know, the research is really showing a couple of things is that one, if doctors don't ask patients, patients are not going to offer the information. So I think even as a medical provider, I've become so much more aware of like, we need to ask the questions and just not assume that people are going to volunteer the information. Second, I mean, I think your mom was amazing and ahead of her time that she was really open about these things. And that wasn't necessarily the case. And so I think that the conversation is changing now. And we're also seeing like statistics in the US of like the cesarean birth rates, you know, maternal mortality rates, pelvic floor dysfunction rates. That was a generation, I think, where people maybe felt like this is just the way that we have to deal with things as women. We're just going to leak. We're just going to end up in diapers. We're just going to have pain. And you don't talk about it. But I think now we know like, hey, there are options. So yes, I like absolutely encourage you to talk to your daughter, but even my sons. I mean, we use the anatomical terms of like penis and vagina. And, you know, the research is telling me as well, like if we use those terms, it's better for them to be able to have these conversations as they get older. So yeah, I think it's just, I think it's changing. I see the tide changing with time. That's and great. It's really encouraging.
Yeah. I think also there's a lot of people commenting and saying that doctors gloss over pelvic floor questions when you have your 6-week postpartum. A lot of people also were asking when you can return to sex post-baby, when you can return to exercise. For most people, it's 6 weeks you go for your doctor's appointment, right?
Right. So, you know, if you were seeing a midwife, midwifery care is a little more frequent. Most physician visits are at 6 visits, although ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, actually recommends it at 3 weeks. So hopefully we're changing that we're starting to see moms sooner and that you have ongoing care up till 12 weeks. So, but during that checkup, you don't even always get a pelvic exam. It's kind of like, are you depressed? Are things okay? Like go back to sex and exercise. I do encourage most people to wait 6 weeks until they try to have sex. I waited 12. First of all, I was exhausted. I was like, that's the last thing I'm worried about right now. Like, whatever, you know? So like, give yourself some time. And with exercise, it's really recommended to wait 12 weeks to do high impact exercise. So if it's running, weightlifting, we really recommend starting to do like, if you have access to a physical therapist, check in at 6 weeks postpartum, do some pelvic floor rehab, and then at 12 weeks, kind of resume higher impact exercise.
Wow. Wow. That's so interesting because I think everybody has this 6 week timeline in mind and that being like the time that you're clear to just go return to life as you were before you got pregnant.
Yeah. But I think you and I both know there is no like life before. like everything is different. I mean, myself included, I was so anxious to be like, I want to go back to normal, but the normal is just different. It's just,
yeah.
And it's not necessarily worse. It's just different. And so I think we have to prepare our bodies to be able to transition back into this new season.
And do you advise all, I'm sure you also just, the OBs that you work with, you to be able to have an open communication with their patients about pelvic floor health and being able to talk to them about encouraging to even ask their patients how their pelvic floor is doing or about PT work after having a baby?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And, you know, I think that they have a lot on their plates. The other research is that 40% of people aren't even attending their postpartum visits. So a lot of these moms aren't, I know, isn't that wild? Wow. So a lot of moms aren't getting that care or even a follow-up visit. I mean, there's with COVID, with childcare, with return to work. I mean, there's just a lot of limitations as to being able to access medical care. So, but if you do go see them and, you know, I don't expect OBs or midwives to kind of know pelvic floor therapy, but I do think it's valuable to know when to refer. Yeah. And so if someone did have a tear, if someone does work out, if someone did have a cesarean birth, I mean, to me, everybody, but just go, I'm like, go ahead. It's only, there's no negative side effects to getting checked out by a PT. And I think mm-hmm. it really helps patients feel supported and empowered in their recovery.
Yeah. I know it's interesting because I had a couple friends who had babies around the same time that I did. And some, I don't know if it was just COVID times, but some went in and just filled out a, you know, postpartum depression yeah. worksheet. And they're like, do you feel okay? And then they left and there was nothing, no exam happening or nothing, you know, really further as far as making sure the mom is doing well and doing okay. And then also 6 weeks after you give birth, it's kind of all a blur anyway.
Right.
But I think it's so interesting to be able to encourage that with, you know, with doctors and even as friends. I mean, I think that so much of this is, you know, partners want to know how they can support their partner yeah. who just gave birth. And also friends want to know, you know, especially with postpartum, but also with pelvic floor health is, you know, how can you support your friends who might feel uncomfortable talking about pain during intercourse or, you know, feeling uncomfortable down in your vagina or, you know, being able to have open conversations about that and be supportive as a friend or a partner.
Yeah, I think that that's so huge. And I think to really be able there, it's interesting because for me personally, when I became a mother, it was like you enter into this community you didn't even know existed of just
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Support, encouragement, information. You're like, these are my people.
Right.
So I think it's amazing to be able to have people that you can have really candid conversation with and who can say, you can share this information. They're like, oh, have you gone to a PT or even somebody to recommend that this exists because people still don't know. Even just mom groups on Facebook or something, you know, I think we just get a ton of like info as to like, hey, I'm having this problem. And then people offer recommendations for who to see. But yeah, I think it's pretty incredible when we can talk about these things openly and it just, we start to realize that we're not the only ones experiencing it, that we're not right. alone in that journey. So I think it's really helpful for moms.
Yeah. No, the mother community, I think on Instagram, I mean, for me, especially like I have a ton of mom friends, but even when I have, you know, today I woke up after my daughter slept a little bit longer and I was, you know, my breasts were hurting from breastfeeding. And it's just like, what do you do about that? Those are all yeah. things that I think, you know, to be able to have these communities online and, especially during a pandemic where you're not wow. going to lunch with your girlfriends is such a huge gift. And to be able to also have conversations like with experts like yourself, to be able to give people information and talk about a topic that isn't really, you know, talked about as much as it should be. Although now it is a topic that I'm seeing much more of. I don't know if that's just because I'm a new mom or because it is a topic that's more discussed, but I think it's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. And so it's funny because I started my Instagram account when I was pregnant with my second son. I found myself writing the same email to my group of friends, like, this is what you need to do for birth and this is what you need right. postpartum. And so I just started the account for them and they're the ones who called me the Vagina Whisperer. It's like a nickname when I started this field. And then
I love it.
The community just grew. And it's really, I think, just such a testament to how many people want this information of like, mm-hmm. oh, I didn't know this existed, or oh, there's help for that, or like, why didn't anybody tell me? So again, I do think that we're able to just kind of have more candid conversations about it, and then have platforms like this where we have access to info where we may not be getting it from our medical providers.
Yeah, I think also, you know, I've kind of found you, I found you on Instagram from friends, and I've loved being able to look at your posts and just to be able to be more informed, even if it doesn't necessarily pertain exactly to what I'm feeling. I think that it's so interesting to be able to just be informed about all these different aspects that fall under, you know, pelvic floor health and vaginal health, intercourse, all of these different things. And especially as somebody who just gave birth, to know about that and just be aware of it is so great. But I also think that it's, your page is also so great and all this information is so wonderful also for dads or partners or people who didn't necessarily deliver the baby, but, you know, might want to be informed about what their partner is going through, feeling wise, pain wise. Maybe there's something that they can do in order to be more supportive and more gentle and understanding, because there's so much talk about sex after baby or just sex in general, that being able to understand from, you know, a partner perspective is so wonderful as well.
That's a great point. And I've never really thought about that. There are a handful. It's funny. You can see like the percentage of people that follow you, and like 3% of the people who follow me are males. And I'm like, okay, one's my husband, one's my brother. And I'm like, okay, who are the other 3%, you know? And so, but I do think it's like, I've had partners find me and be like, I think this is my wife and she has this, you know, or something like that. But even, when we did this online childbirth pelvic floor prep class, I mean, partners were attending with their pregnant spouses. And so it was really a way, I think, to get partners the information too, of like, hey, this is what to expect. This is what you can do to help me. This is what can happen afterwards. So that's a great point that I didn't even really think about, but I'm glad that it can be a resource for.
Well, I think we should do another one of these conversations, because I don't want to keep you longer, because I know I told you it wasn't going to be this long, but I truly...
Oh, no, it's totally fine.
As I said before, I mean, I've never gotten so many questions. I mean, we didn't even really focus on sex this conversation, but that was such a big topic that I would love to be able to come back and discuss in more detail, because it is, you know, sex after baby, but even sex before baby, and people who have pelvic floor sensitivities or challenges. This is such a big topic that, you know, with more conversations like this, we're getting more comfortable talking about, but for a lot of people to just be able to tune into an Instagram live to learn about it, I think is really awesome. So I'm so grateful for you taking time to talk about this and to educate all of us.
It is. I mean, sex is like a whole topic in itself, and it's really helpful for a lot of women. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And we will stay tuned for another one of these conversations, because we have to have another one, because there's just so much to talk about.
Let's do it.
Thank you again so much. And I'm so grateful you took time.
Thank you. Bye, Catherine. Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Amazing. So thank you guys all so much for watching. That was so informative as a new mom, super informative. And I know a lot of you had questions that you were writing while I was doing this that I saw people who are viewing. So thank you for those. I saw a couple of them. I'll go back and read more of them. I'm definitely wanting to do another one of these conversations with Sarah, because this is such an important topic. It's one that affects so many women that I know, women who've had babies, women who have not had babies, and the sex aspect of it is such a big part of that as well. And something that most people don't necessarily feel comfortable talking to their doctors about or their girlfriends. So we will come back and I'll ask Sarah if she'll do another one of these conversations, because she's so, so awesome and so great. And I encourage you guys to also follow her page. It's Vagina Whisper. I'll put her tag and her handle in the little comment section here. So thank you guys for watching, and I'll be back next week with another episode of Before, During, After Baby, BDA Baby. And thanks.